While your request is most certainly granted, but you'll excuse me if I'll make a general announcement in Yiddish about the order of the conference. Ich habe gewollt sagen, als mir wollen sich jetzt vier nach zwei, mir wollen nehmen eine halbe Stunde Zeit, neulich ein bisschen mehr, gleich zu diskutieren dem Referat von Frank Tobias. Dennoch wollen wir geben euch allen die volle Freiheit zu halten, Redes, welche ihr habt gewollt halten oder nicht, aber nicht gehabt, keine Gelegenheit zu halten, bei der Konferenz. Das hat Koidem Kolascheiches zu Bemerkungen und Scheiches mit den Referaten, was wir haben alle euch gehört, aber das hat euch ein Scheiches zu solche Sachen wie Perspektiven von weiterer Arbeit auf dem Gebiet von Forschungen, von der Geschichte von jüdischen sozial-progressiven Bewegungen. Jetzt wollen wir haben, aber derweil wollen wir haben eine Diskussion über Professor Tobias' Referat. Dr. Goldhagen.
I think that in many respects this was an extremely valuable paper, because this is the kind of approach which I think should be adopted, the tools that has been provided by us by the social sciences should be adopted. But I would like to introduce a few caveats here. First of all, I think if one views the Bund as an organization in historical perspective, I think perhaps one should consider the possibility of comparing it to certain historical sects. I would suggest that early Christianity, that might sound very far-fetched to some of you, early Christianity or similar sects, which Zimmel, the famous sociologist, has treated in his treatise, the Geheimen Gesellschaften, would provide a very interesting parallel. Why? When you examine the Bund in its origins, you find that those who enter the Bund undergo a second conversion. That is, William James distinguished between persons who are once born and twice born. Persons undergo a second conversion. They are born again, especially in the circles and in the post-circle period. I found, for instance, such interesting phenomena which are extremely revealing. When John Mill left Vilna, a worker brought him as a gift, a brush, saying, socialists must not only be pure in mind, but also pure in body. And all evidence suggests, this is recorded in John Mill's memoirs, and all evidence suggests that even the personal habits of the early members of the Bund underwent a radical change. And incidentally, I spoke this morning of Reschig. Reschig was an exception to this. Reschig was notoriously unkempt. He walked around with a shabbily, with a volume of Lavrov under his arm. So this in itself stamps the organization with a distinctive stamp, making it akin to certain revivalist movements, which, as I said, have been in Christianity. This radical, he who enters the Bund undergoes a psychic revolution. I'm speaking only of the very first period. It is a veritable psychic revolution, and to repeat what William James said, he was reborn, he was twice born. This is very, very, very important. Now, secondly, I would like to draw attention to the fact, why was there no schisms in the Bund, rather suggest possibility of answers. First of all, the Bund was the most embattled of parties. It had enemies on all sides. And we know historically that nothing forges the unity of a party, or forges the unity of a group as a common enemy. It was beset from the right and from the left. It was, especially in the early period of its existence, totally isolated. Isolated on the Jewish scene, besieged, equally besieged by the Russian scene. And this thing creates a sense of intense solidarity. I think this is very important to bear in mind. I would perhaps suggest the categories, different categories be used, categories which have been used by other students of elite groups, sociologists, namely the administrator and the symbol wielder. I think this is a much more useful category than merely the cultural workers, the man of words and the man of action. I think the prototype of the man of the administrator was Arkady Kremer. This was an apparatchik to the core, a man who shunned, not in the Stalinist sense of the word, of course, but a man who shunned the limelight, who didn't speak, and so on. On the other hand, man of words in the Bund, I think prototypes would be, to some extent, Lessing, although he played only a brief role, he was not an organization man. To some extent, Litvak, I'm not sure about him, but he might fail. But incidentally, we have that in the Bolshevik movement too. I think you have the Bukharins, who were the symbol wielders, and you have the organization man, the Stalins and others. But the main point I wanted to make here is to be aware that all this organizational, this study of structure should take place against the background of the peculiar sect-like formation of the Bund in the early period and all the psychological syndromes that go with it.
Only a very brief remark with regard to the terminology. I was very unpleasantly struck all the time with the expression Hebrew education. At least for my generation, Hebrew education is something secular, which is conducted in Hebrew schools, in Hebrew high schools, universities, and so on. In Yiddish literature, which deals with that, we have a special expression cheder, or yeshiva, or at least you should have said traditional Jewish education, because it was not Hebrew. These people read a word in Hebrew and translated it immediately into Yiddish. And their Hebrew of an average boy who graduated from a cheder was not enough to read modern Hebrew literature, you understand? Then, within this category itself, there is an important difference between a cheder, the lower degree, which practically every boy passed, more or less, and the yeshiva, which belonged also to the so-called Hebrew, but was quite different, because these people were more mature, they were very sophisticated in the highest degree of pilpul, and they were amazingly receptive to the new science of Marxism, of sociology, and so on. These people from this yeshiva Bokharim went out in all socialist and other movements a great phalanx of leaders. Then your division of these people within 50 years, within how many years, 20 years, 50 people within 20 years, which had formal education secular or had not, may be somewhat misguiding in time, because very many of them before 95 had absolutely no formal education, and after 95, when the revolution, the hot wave of revolution was over, became externs and earned later a formal education in the university or somewhere else. So this again must be taken into account. That is the only things which I wanted you to advise, because you see, I met many of these people, grew up under the influence of the revolutionary generation of 1905, and I know many of their metamorphoses. And this also, I believe, may apply to their mood of behavior and other things. They changed with amazing quickness. You see, a boy who was who would live on a herring and a piece of black bread while he was studying as an external professional revolutionary would in very short time became a professional lawyer or something and change completely his habits, though remaining still connected with the movement.
And Hertz.
Jede Schematisierung drückt in sich gewisse Gefahren. Und It's mir schwer zu reden Englisch. Okay. Tobias versteht Jiddisch, und er ist ein Geier übersetzt. Ja. Sach richtige Sachen sind auch richtig geworden. Aber Sach Sachen können verfehlen. In Bund ist nicht gewesen, kind, in der Umfehlung kein Zugleib Leute formelle Bildung. Es sind gewesen verschiedene Sibes, verwusst, die Menschen sind gestanden, berosch von der Bewegung, oder von Herzenstapel, oder von niedrigen Stapeln, und verwusst nicht. Ich will geben ein Beispiel. Der erste Zentralkomitee vom Bund ist bestanden von drei Menschen, sind alle gewesen in Gymnasien. Das sind gewesen Krämer, Kosowski und Mutnik. Sie alle sind gewesen in Gymnasien. Sie haben sie von der Gymnasien, im zweiten von der Gymnasien, ausgeworfen, für revolutionäre Tätigkeit. Aber sie sind gewesen. Der zweite Zentralkomitee ist schon, dachte, dort kein einer nicht gewesen, sie gewesen in der Gymnasien. Der Hauptfigur vom zweiten Zentralkomitee ist gewesen ein Arbeiter, der David Katz. Der zweite Mitglied ist gewesen Zivio, euch an Arbeiter, zwei Arbeiter. Und selber ist schon gewesen, ein halber Intelligent, aber ich bin nicht sicher, sie ist gegangen in die Gymnasie. In die Gymnasie weiß ich, bin ich nicht sicher, später dachte ich, sie geworden ein Dentist. Aber sie gewesen in die Gymnasie, allenfalls kein Signik, sie gewesen eine Mehrheit, drei Menschen, zwei sind gewesen Arbeiter. Nun, also euch in weitere Sachen. Sie gewesen, die objektive Sibis, wussten wir, die Dose Menschen reingenommen. Ach, jetzt beklall die Bildung, kann man euch nicht teilen in jener Zeit, in jener Kufel, oder dem sie, ihr habt dort gemacht, der Gymnasium, oder dort gelernt, der Universität. Ich nehme dabei, sie gewesen, unerschiert Tier. Zum Vernehmen einer wichtigen Rolle in der Bewegung sind keine Schule nicht gegangen. Und sind gewesen herzgebildete Menschen, nicht nur in jüdische Fragen, sondern auch in allgemeine Fragen. Wo könnt ihr euch rechnen, einen langen Zettel? Geben wir ein Beispiel, zwei Menschen. Einer von sei ist Litwak und der zweite Michalewitsch. Sei es im Gatt sehr breiten Wissen. Und wo könnt ihr euch rechnen, noch eine ganze Reihe Menschen an andere Menschen. Um sich nicht zu illustrieren. Also das ist nicht kein Mester, weil er darf wissen, als Menschen, welche haben sich gewollt bilden und haben sich gebildet, haben nicht gerade keine Möglichkeiten, nicht nur die materiellen Möglichkeiten, sondern auch die Möglichkeiten, zu lieb die Prozentnorma reinzukommen in die Gymnasien. Das ist die kolossale Schwierigkeit von der jüdischen Intelligenz, sich zu bekommen eine normale Bildung. Jetzt will ich euch langsam machen auf eine zweite Sache. Von dem, wer soll sein, ein Führer, ist euch gewesen abhängig von der Zeit. Kedai zu sein, ein Führer, bis 1905 hat man bedürfen zu anderen Qualifikationen. Und nach 1905 hat man, in 1905 hat man euch bedürfen zu anderen Qualifikationen. Die wichtigste Qualifikation bis 1905, das ist gewesen zu sein, ein organisierter Konspirator. Wer sollte kennt, umführen mit dem konspirativen Apparat, der hat gerade Chancen, auch ausgerückt zu werden. Von 1905 hat man schon bedürfen zum anderen Males. Der Males hat bedürfen sein, können wir ein Massenredner. Das Gewehm hat gerade vermittelt von Tausenden und Tausenden Menschen und wer es ist gewesen, ein guter Redner, der ist auch ausgerückt geworden. Und man hat damit euch bedürfen zum Schreiber. Und wer ist gewesen, ein Schreiber? Also die Menschen haben sich ausgerichtet und es ist bewusst gefallen, dass die Menschen, welche haben gespielt eine größere Rolle in friedlichen Perioden, in konspirativen Perioden, haben sie weggeregt geworden, sie haben sich alleine weggeregt. Und einer von sie, was hat sich alleine weggeregt, ist Taki gewinnt, Krämer gesagt, ich bin nicht geredet, ich bin nicht geschreiber, ist noch was. Was darf ich da tun, zu einer anderen Zeit? Und du will ich polemisieren mit dem Herrn Goldhagen, welcher gesagt hat, als Krämer ist gewesen, bloß ein Apparatschik. Das ist nicht richtig. Krämer ist gewesen, ein Mensch, er hat nicht vermutet, die Fähigkeiten zu seiner Redner, er hat nicht halten, keine Rede. so ich nicht gewesen, kein großer Schreiber, aber er hat gekannt, es gewesen ein Denker. Und er ist gewesen der, welcher der Erste formuliert die Taktik von der Arbeiterbewegung, nicht nur der jüdischen, sondern von der allgemeinen russischen Arbeiterbewegung. Und sein Bichl wegen Agitation ist geworden, das Lernbuch, die Chrestomatie von der ganzen Russländer Arbeiterbewegung. Und kann man nicht sagen, wegen so einem Mensch hat das als erstes gewesen, ein Apparatschik. Ich will noch sagen, also, als wir wissen, zurück zu der Frage wegen der Intellektualen. Es ist gewesen zwischen der Tour vom Bund gewesen, eine große Zuhl, ist nicht zwischen den Sammelspitzen. Das muss man feststellen. Aber von den Niedrigen gewesen, sehr eine Sache, die schon gehabt einen größeren jüdischen Wissen. Und das kann ich auch nicht sagen, also du bist nicht ein Intellektual. Ich kann im ganz von einem anderen Gebiet wissen. Es ist darüber ist sehr schwer, das zu klassifizieren, das einteilen. Und ich muss sagen, als später seinen Wuss weiter, ich will noch eine Sache sagen. In der ersten Zeit ist natürlich zwischen den Tour gewesen ein größerer Prozent Intelligenten. Und das Sibbe der Finn ist gewesen, Puschit, wo die Bewegung, die Gedanken von Sozialismus haben gebracht, Intelligenten. Aber da man durfte das erst verkaufen der Arbeiter, übergeben der Arbeiter. Aber mit dem Moment, wenn die Arbeiter sind reingezogen worden, die Bewegung, seien sich beginnen wir damit, ist ein Ausgerie geworden, wo es weit als aggressor Prozent Arbeiter zwischen ungesehene Tiere. Und befragt auf zwischen die lokalen Tiere. Also in die späteren Zentralkomiteen trefft mich schon euch Arbeiter und Nawade in der Ort gekommen hätten. Und jetzt will ich sagen noch ein Wort, wegen dem, was hat gesagt, Goldhagen, als die Verwuss ist, als beim Bund gewesen, hat man sich nicht gespalten und ist gewesen, mehr zugebunden zum Bund, wie bei der Russen oder bei der anderen Völker. Das sind nicht gewinnt, die Sibbe der Fahr, weil der Bund ist gewesen, verfolgt von innen wenig, von außen wenig. Euch der Russische Revolutionären sind gewesen verfolgt von innen wenig, von außen wenig. Man sagt, Punkt, also zum Gesetz in der Turm ist, verschickt in Sibirien und auf Tlis, Punkt wie die Jüdische. Und euch, die in russischem Leben, hat verständlich der Oberste von Streuseln in der russischen Gesellschaft, euch verachtet, das sind nicht gewesen, das Sibbe. Das Sibbe ist gewesen, wo die sozialistische Agitation hat gefunden, einen tieferen Abklang bei der jüdischen Massen, bei der jüdischen Arbeit. Es hat gedauert, viel schwerer ist umgekommen, die russischen Revolutionären, die russischen Sozialdemokraten, die russischen Revolutionären, zu finden einen Abklang mit seiner Agitation bei der russischen Arbeiter. Und mit dem erklärt sich, was bei uns die jüdische Bewegung ist, bemächtigt von einer pure Jahr geworden, eine Kraft, ist die russische Arbeiterbewegung gewesen schwach. Das ist gewesen die Hauptsibbe, der Hauptsibbe. Das eigentlich aber gewollt zu mir.
I really have only one question, which I think perhaps Professor Woodhouse especially might like to answer. And I ask the question in all honesty, and that is, as a historian who is interested in social science techniques, what did your method, as you applied it to this study, contribute to our understanding of the Bund? Because I wasn't quite clear of that. And what truths or insights about the Bund did your method reveal that we didn't know before or couldn't have found out by more traditional methods of historical analysis.
While I have this opportunity, I will also respond to some of the other comments which I was able to hear. First of all, the last question that came to us, what does the method contribute to our understanding of the Bund? Well, I think that we had two purposes here in our paper. One was to demonstrate the possibility of applying to the study of the Bund methods of analysis which have been applied to other kinds of organization and which have been developed in the study of sociology. And the other was to demonstrate, the other was to supply a bit of information, that much as we could provide in the time allowed, a bit of information that comes out of the application of this method. However, we have to recognize also that there may be a contribution here that does not become fully apparent from the contents of the paper itself. This is the idea that the understanding of a single organization might be gained by comparing it with other organizations which are similar in their nature, whereby we would be able to learn something about the organization that we would not know if we studied it all by itself. I think, for example, that it's not possible for me to know everything that has been known about the Bund by people who are far more familiar with it than I am, and by people who have been acquainted with its history longer than I have. On the other hand, I think that there may be a tendency sometimes to explain the success or the cohesion and the solidarity of a movement by reference to something, some peculiar heroic quality of its own membership, and to lose sight of the fact that much of its success may also depend upon the nature of the relationships which develop among the membership and the relations that occur between the leadership and the followers. That here is an example of behavior that can be comes under the purview of control. That is to say, you have to be able to depend upon people to perform heroic roles. But if you're going to if they're going to perform heroic roles dependably, there must be some system of control by which this performance can be the performance can be guaranteed. There has to be some process by which individuals become committed to the goals of a movement. And this just doesn't happen automatically. It happens as a result of their exposure to certain kinds of influence and their contacts with certain people. And I think that One of the things we have tried to do here is to demonstrate that the organization which the Bund established was an organization that did, by virtue of the type of people it attracted to it, and by virtue of the kinds of responsibilities which they created for themselves and assigned to others, made it possible for people to link, made it possible for different kinds of people to link themselves together in ways that would result in action which might not otherwise have been carried out. I think, for example, that what I'm really saying, I think, is that it would be interesting to look at the Bund as an organization and to compare it with a similar group which just recently emerges on the world scene and in a context that's quite similar to that of the Bund in some ways. That is to say, the Bund, as I take it, is an organization which was held together partly by the common religious allegiances of its members, the common religious allegiance of its members, a certain commonness of heritage. Well, perhaps there is, this is not wholly true, but I think that enough so, as much as perhaps any, any organization that is identified as religious. But it also must be remembered that the Bund was involved in political action and in political affairs. Here was a group which did identify itself as having a common religious tradition and engaging in political activities also. So are the Buddhists in Vietnam. And
the Buddhists
in Vietnam. Now, I'm sorry, I didn't realize what I was saying. But the Buddhists in Vietnam have become threatened. Their political status and their economic status has become threatened. And they have formed a shadow government. They have formed an organization which is designed designed for political action and political defense, in addition to the organization already established for the pursuance of their religious beliefs. Now, it would be interesting to look, for example, at the leadership of that organization and to see what that leadership is like, and to see whether the backgrounds, the education, and the positions, the formal responsibilities of these leaders may differ or be similar in those ways which are comparable to the Jewish Bund. And to see to what extent there is a to see what is the nature of the solidarity and the nature of the relationships and the nature and even the spirit that ties people together in a secular and political action movement that is not unlike what the Bund was involved with. What I'm suggesting here is it's always easy to say, I think it's always easy to say, we know all this before, we heard all this before. But then on the other hand, there are perhaps ways in which what has been thought to be true all along can be more definitely proved true or false. And this is one of the things that that we're trying to do here, is to ascertain the factual nature of these assumptions and beliefs about the nature of the organization, what it was, and how, and to give us a way of discovering to what extent is it different from other Jewish social movements or other social movements or other religious groups that get involved in politics. I think this is one of the things that we have in mind when we work at something like this. I appreciate Professor Goldhagen's suggestions about the keeping in mind the sect-like nature of the experience that people have in the Bund as leaders, your reference to the conversion and so on. This I recognize as a possible kind of experience that can be undergone in many different kinds of organization, not just religious sects alone. But at the same time, it comes under a general heading of something more, something broader, which we call a commitment. What are the mechanisms of commitment? That is, that process that tends to guarantee that people will be loyal to the organization, will devote their lives to it, and will pay more attention to the members of their organization than they will pay attention to anybody who is outside of it, and so on. So that these psychological experiences of conversion may be one of many factors that lend themselves to commitment. As a matter of fact, we were trying to isolate some of the conditions of commitment here by looking at the background characteristics of the leaders. And there are many, there is much more information about the leaders and the kind of thing they did in the organization. For instance, we are, well, just to speculate wildly for a moment, we think it's interesting to ask whether a person who has a university degree, who has the right to practice a profession and make a good living at it, would be as dependent on the organization and would need the organization as much as somebody who did not have this much opportunity to make a living in the outside world and to build a life around a private career. It seems to me that this is an alternative that faced many of the people. Will I give my life to the organization? Does this hold out more hope for me than life in the outside community? For some it would, for some it wouldn't. And in these days, it seems to me, education was an important determining factor in the whole process of commitment. This is a question that's still open. We're just beginning to explore it, as a matter of fact, in the information that we have. As to your suggestions, Professor Goldhagen, about our use of categories, it seems to me that while you suggest that we use categories like administrator or symbol wielder and that kind of distinction, on the other hand, you suggest that we should pay close attention to the peculiar historical circumstances under which the movement emerges. And I think I gather that this is the import of your remark. And this is why we did not automatically go over and pick up the categories that are used by other students of elites, as for instance Laswell and his cohorts, because it seemed to me that it was more worthwhile to look at the situation and see what kinds of things people were doing that seemed most meaningful to them and see whether our categories could be drawn out from the context of the activities themselves. It seems to me, for example, that to classify people...